If you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to catch all future episodes. Also, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/switchboxtv for video versions of this show, plus loads more videos covering sport, music, and lifestyle. That's youtube.com/switchboxtv. This episode was recorded in October 2020.
Season finale tonight.
So it was the season finale on Thursday on HBO Max in the States.
Right.
Bubbles, yeah.
Have we seen it?
No, it's coming soon to the UK, so I'm looking forward to
tell us what happened.
Well, no, I don't want to ruin it. Like for everyone here in the UK, they're like, oh great. I know, like I've been on that side of things, like you know when you go on Instagram and you're like, great, now I know what happens at the end of like How to Get Away with Murder,
spoilers and things like that. There's new season though being commissioned, hasn't there?
Yes, so season two got announced recently, so I'm really excited about that, looking forward
to it. How is that gonna happen? When's it gonna happen? Are we COVID affected or how is that gonna work?
Well, we're due to start filming early next year. So as it stands, everything is looking good for that. So fingers crossed, everything stays good in general as well, because it's obviously it's based on the pandemic and everything that's going on in the world. So, I mean, I'm hoping that for everyone globally, this situation gets a lot better as well.
Absolutely. We're talking about Raised by Wolves. And what was it like? How enjoyable was it, basically, to be involved with, to film?
It was amazing. So for me, I've always loved sci-fi growing up. So I've loved reading like sci-fi books and watching sci-fi series. So to have the chance to be a part of that genre and do something like that was amazing for me. Like my inner kid was like champing at the bit. And on top of that as well, just the story is so incredible and epic, yet at the heart of it all, like it is still a really human story. So for me, like that's always a joy to play with.
You're playing Tempest. I mean, I feel like the biggest fat stalker in the world, because I've been watching. I mean, my 13-year-old daughter who's at school today said you ruined her childhood with Evermore, scaring the life out of her. But it's big scale. It's Ridley Scott. It's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's an incredible piece of like work and art. Like the level of detail, like in every single aspect, is just so incredible. Like it's amazing. I remember we got to see like a little like clip of it towards the end of our filming, like just a little sort of like 2-3 minute thing to kind of show like all of the hard work that everyone had done. And I remember watching that and going, we've created a whole world, like a whole planet, a whole like new corner of the universe that's just ours to play around in and tell stories. And yeah, we were all left speechless. Like all of our minds were like completely blown, because all of a sudden you're like, this is incredible and real, and the scale of it is so large that yeah, it's just unbelievable to know that you're a part of something like that.
Can you, I mean, Tempest is a great character. You can really get stuck into it, can't you?
Yeah.
And has it given you the opportunity to explore more about yourself, more about your acting skills than perhaps anything else you've done?
I think with Tempest, what's been really interesting in playing that role is, so for example, like I've been acting since I was 13, so I've been acting like for most of my life. So what's been interesting is like looking back on almost everything I've learned across those years and realizing that with Tempest, it was like doubling down on all of these lessons. It was sort of just like, oh, do you remember this? Like, this is really important. And for me, like, what I've realized a lot was with Tempest, it really highlighted like the importance for me as a performer to trust my instincts and to just kind of be in the moment and just trust that I'd done all of my character prep and character work. I knew my lines. And so the only thing I could do was kind of turn up on set and just be in the moment with like my fellow actors and the crew and the director and just like trust that was enough. And also trust in everyone else as well. Like that was it. And then just know that that's the only thing that you can do in order to tell a story as truthfully and as realistically as you possibly can so that the audience is able to really like sink their teeth into it and believe it.
Do you, I know it sounds a bit strange and we'll talk about the difference between stage and TV perhaps and film. Do you get nervous when you're doing lines? I mean, I TV presented for 25 years, but when I've got to read something, I can do it, I can talk, and I don't use auto cue. But you know, when I've got to read something, I go to bits. And
yeah,
I just wonder when you're, you know, say delivering, you know, not so much a line, but perhaps maybe more, not a monologue either. Do you get, go on, I mean, I sometimes look, I can see myself doing it. Do you know what I mean?
It's almost No, I know what you mean. I mean, I think in terms of like line learning and stuff like that, I've kind of gotten into like a routine with it. It's really hard to describe because obviously everyone's their own unique person. So what helps people like hold lines in their head is different to everyone else. So for me personally, like when I have to learn a line, I learn lines, I tend to like have them and just like almost like read them sort of over and over again, like almost like cram them into my head. Uh-huh. and try and do that. But sometimes, well, yeah, like I've had moments. I feel like it's human nature when you sort of go, like for me at least, when you step on set and you're like, all of a sudden you're like, what is my line? Or like someone would say something and you'll be like, all of a sudden I can't remember anything. And then like you do get nervous, like you have nerves like with that. I feel like with film and TV, it's slightly easier because someone can call cut and like put you out of your misery and sort of go, we'll go again. And, you know, a script supervisor will be like, would you like to look at the line that you were just making up? And then on stage, but I have had that moment on stage. Like I remember I was doing Spur of the Moment at the Royal Court and like we opened like the play. It was like the four of us who were playing the younger characters like opened the play, and we were having this really like rapid fire kind of like typical teenage conversation. And I remember hitting a moment where I was just like, not only can I not remember my next line, but I can't remember my next cue and the line after that. So I was there like going, I know it's all me, but like I don't know what to do. And like, you can feel people watching, obviously. And I just remember like looking at like one of my like fellow actors and just sort of mouthing like, I'm so sorry. And she was just like, okay, great. So we're gonna have to improv this section about. So that, like, I remember feeling like my stomach like sink with that. So yeah, I don't know. I think the nerves are always there. Like they never go away. With every single like actor I've spoken to, regardless of their age or like where they are, like just starting out in their career or like been doing it for years, there's always that thing of like, oof, like what if I just don't know any of my lines and like come in and like just mess everything up. So I think that's just human nature.
That's the buzz, I guess, isn't it? It's the buzz. Listen, I've got to ask you, I mean, don't we try and do a different thing? I've got to ask you about Ridley Scott. Is he the kind of guy you can go, hey, Ridley, get us a couple of sugars in that tea, will you? No, can you bring us a donut? Yeah, go on, make it. Is he that kind of guy? Can you have that kind of chat with him?
He's really, really friendly. Like, he's a really friendly director. I never did that, but I think that's because, like, I literally landed on set and I was just like, I just went to see, like, a Blade Runner cinema experience a couple of months back, and now I'm here doing this. But, yeah, no, he was really nice to work with. He worked at, like, a really fast pace, but it didn't feel rushed at all. It was just like, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing. So that's just the way in which he works, which was great. I kind of like hit the ground like running. So because he directed the first two episodes, it really did feel like that. Like, you were just hitting the ground running, and like, you just built up enough momentum that I think for me, it didn't give me too much time to then sort of think like, oh my gosh, this is huge, and what if I like mess up or do this or do that.
That's good though, isn't it, sometimes? Yeah. That you sort of kind of thrown in, off you go, see you before you can even think about it.
Yeah so that was I think that was really, really cool. And as well, the nice thing about the series is that we actually got to work with like a few different directors, and all of them had their own style, but like they were equally like incredible. And so that was fun as well, just to you know, every so often like things switched up a bit, because obviously each person has their own style of directing and working. So that was nice as well, because I feel like it always kept you on your toes and ready to go.
So has your life changed? Can you still walk down the street and you know, go to the shops and all this kind of thing? Has there been a big reaction to not only just to the TV series, but to you yourself? Have things changed?
I guess so, in a way, yeah. Like, I feel like, you know, like there've been quite a few people sort of messaging on Instagram or like tagging me and like other people like in posts, so we get to see like all of the incredible fan art and like people's reactions to episodes, which has been really, really nice. I think in a strange way, like because of what's been happening and because we've all been, you know, like indoors in our homes and stuff like that, like there's not necessarily been that thing of like what people think of like, oh, a big series, and then like you were saying, you can't walk down the street or you can't do this.
Yeah.
So like in that respect, like everything is,
there would have been loads of public, wouldn't there? You would have been on TV shows, you would have been so much advertising, having to do the rounds. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
Also as well, when we go out, we're all wearing masks. So, and also as well, I cut my hair super short. So I think between the two, people would probably go, it's fine. You don't look like Tempest at all.
What's next? I read you, or you've directed and filmed your own short film, Supper.
Yes.
Is that right? I don't know how long ago that was. What's all that about?
So that, I shot that just before Christmas last year. And then we actually finished doing like all of the editing and the sound mixing like just before the lockdown happened. So I was really lucky with that. So my plan now is to just like put it up online for everyone to get to see it. So I, during lockdown, I organized kind of like a virtual screening for everyone who'd been involved in it, because we were hoping to be able to like obviously go around like someone's house or like go like to a nice space and show it, but obviously can't go anywhere. So a little bit of improvisation. So now that people who've been involved in it have had the chance to see it, I'm gonna put it up for everyone to see. But that, yeah, that was really cool. It kind of just sprung up in the sense of like, I had worked with like lots of amazing actresses, and I knew and was friends with like lots of amazing actresses. And it was that thing of all of our styles and stuff are like different and unique, as is the way. And so you sort of sat there and went, oh, like the chances of us all being able to work together like on one thing is very, very rare. Like for someone to be like, there's a cast of like 8 women and we require like all of these specific things. So I kind of just decided that I wanted to write a piece that had sort of a character for like each of women that I wanted to work with. And it was a really lovely shoot to do. Particularly,
can you tell us what
my first? Yeah. So Supper is about this it's this evening where these 8 kind of goddesses get together and they've decided that they're gonna hold this feast to celebrate this woman's life. And it all starts off really good, like a really nice, like sort of family, sort of Christmas dinner kind of vibe. And then death shows up and all of a sudden, like all of the little family feuds start like popping up. And you get to see like all of the different dynamics between the women. And it was really cool. So we had life, we had death, we had love, reason, chaos, sadness, joy, and decay. And so like when you see them all, like they're each like representatives and their personalities represent that as well. So it was really cool to play around with that.
Brilliant. How does it work? Are you at the stage of your career now where you can say to your agents, I'd love to do this, or can you get me that? Or do things come your way? Has that been a development? Do you get a chance to pick and choose a bit more?
I think, you know, I feel like my agent puts me up for things that he thinks I'd be good for and projects that I might be interested in. And like as well, like, and as it always has been, like there'll be casting directors as well who'll be like, oh, I've looked on like Spotlight and I think like it would be interesting to see them like audition for this part. And then like for me, what I do is it's not necessarily pick and choose in the sense of like, oh, I want to do that, I don't want to do that. It's more like I will look at a part and sort of go like, am I right for this part? As in like, will I be able to tell this character's story in the best possible way? And so sometimes you'll go like, yeah, this is great. Like I know exactly what to do and amazing. And sometimes, you know, you have to kind of be really honest with yourself and sometimes just go, at least for me personally, just go, I'm not the best person or the right person to tell this story. And so sure. Then you sort of go,
yeah,
it's all right.
Listen, I've got a few I need to ask you before we go. The question I wanted to ask you to start with, how's your cooking? Everywhere I go, I read you cook and you love cake. Is that a load of nonsense or have you been?
No, I have actually been cooking. Like I do.
In a Nigella's come out during lockdown, has it?
Yeah, no, all of the different cookbooks, following all of the recipes. And for the most part, succeeding.
Sweet or savoury? What's the...
So I have a really, really big sweet tooth. So I actually, like before lockdown, used to do a lot of baking. And right at the start of lockdown, I did as well, when I could get flour. So I made like devil's food cake. I made like a hummingbird cake, like chocolate cake.
Could you do a bake-off? Could you stand the pressure of bake-off?
Well, do you know what? I don't think I could. Like, and this is for real, because I don't think I can handle it when things go wrong. Like I remember ages ago, like I was baking a cake and it was quite complicated and it involved like doing a crumb layer, so you had to bake the cake in a really specific way. And when I took it out of the oven, I dropped the tray, and like it just fell apart. And I was literally like on my knees in the kitchen for about 5 minutes until my sister was like, "It's okay, I'll take over." So I feel like if someone was like, "You've got 2 hours to do this,"
yeah,
I'd sort of go, "If you gave me 4."
Okay. Do you sing in the shower?
Yes, I do.
What's your musical taste?
Gosh, a bit of everything. I think when I do the kind of bathroom singing, it's a lot more show tunes. It's a lot more like West End and Broadway.
Honestly?
Yeah. Just when you're there going like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go and like perform every single...
Are you good enough to carry a tune professionally? Could you do a musical?
Do you know what? I honestly don't think I could, because
with practice, could.
You potentially, but it's also as well, like, and I've seen them, and also like when you see all the behind the scenes, it's like they're doing like all of these incredible things with like their voice, but like it's like sort of 6, 7, 8 times a week, and I don't think that I'd have like the stamina to do it, and to like dance as well, and to do, like, it's just whenever I see it, that's the one thing where I'm like, that's amazing, and I can't do that. Like, I wish I could do that.
I love it. Hey, listen, don't rule it out. Guilty pleasure.
Ooh. Okay, I guess, I mean, it's not so much as a guilty pleasure, because I don't really feel like guilty when I'm eating it, but a fish finger sandwich on like white bread.
Well,
but like not like sourdough or anything like that, like that white sliced bread.
Like a chip butty kind of thing.
You know when it, like, you apply a bit of the heat and like the bread just melts.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Are you a party animal?
No, I'm not.
Do you drink?
I enjoy like having a nice sort of cocktail or a glass of wine, but I'm not a big party animal. Like, I haven't ever really been, like, even when I was younger. Like, I much preferred to just hang out like with a small group of friends. But don't get me wrong, like, I love to dance. Even if we're in a small group of friends, it's like the music comes on, we'll do all of that. But I'm just not, like, I was never really into like having like sort of big nights out with like lots and lots of people.
Are you a worrier?
A worrier?
Mm.
Yeah, I am.
In what way?
I think just I just always end up getting stressed out about like sort of little things or anything. I mean, being honest, like the pandemic, like there's been a lot like of stuff about that, do you know what I mean? Because it's that idea of like, you want to keep yourself safe, and you want to keep loved ones safe, and you want to keep everyone safe.
It's a worrying time for everybody,
yeah,
isn't it?
so that's been something that like I've been working on, you know, just accepting things and trying to like ease the level of worry.
I don't think I've got any more for you, apart from, do you know what, it's been lovely talking to you.
Same, it's been really nice to talk to you too.
I really hope things continue to go well. We'll be following with great interest. And most of all, stay safe and take care of yourself.
Thank you, you too.